Before we pray, I would like to read Psalms 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications in thy faithfulness. Answer me and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. So far, this precious and holy word of God. Let us stand up for prayer. Lord Almighty God, we were praying with the psalm writer. Want to lift up our hands and hearts to you, speaking with you, because you have spoken with us. Faithful God, we come into your presence under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb. We approach the throne of grace by faith, and we ask you, do not reject us. Look at your people graciously. Bless your inheritance. Lead it on the right way, that the enemy cannot destroy it. Faithful God, speak with us in this meeting. May we, as your people, as your covenant people, hear the words of God, not only with our ears, but with all our hearts, receiving it. Faithful God, be thou present through your Spirit. May your blood, O Lord, your word and your Spirit work in our midst and in our hearts. May all the other words be silent, and may your word speak to us. All the other spirits, may they be banned in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And your Spirit lead us into all the truth, sanctifying us. And we also ask that your name be hallowed among your people. Faithful God, you yourself must do it. We are available for you in as much as we can. The rest you must do. O God, together we ask you, you almighty and faithful and true God, help us in our helplessness with your power. Lord, comfort today. Straighten up, save the lost, heal the sick, bind up the injured, comfort those who mourn. Lord, you have for everyone the right word and also the right tone. You understand us better than we understand one another or ourselves. And so we ask you, faithful God, may this meeting be a gathering in your name, in thy presence, under the sound of your word. Crown us with mercy and loving kindness. Let no one go out empty-handed, and bless with us all who later on will hear. Faithful God, we thank you already now for your presence, and we ask you, manifest yourself as the risen one, as the victor of Calvary. To you be the thanks and the worship. Hallelujah. Amen. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. To receive praise, honor, glory, and worship. I would like to welcome all of you. You who you stand in the back there, be so kind. Here are seats available. We will just move up a bit. Here are seats available. Come, please. It would be not comfortable. if almost two people must stand. Come to the front. Maybe one brother would take care of. Be welcome. God bless you. Move up a bit. Thank you. Especially all who are here for the first time, we welcome in a very special way, in the precious name of the Lord, wishing you and all of us God's blessing. It shall not be for the last time, but the first. And then we want coming together until our Lord returns to take his own home into glory. You all know, or you heard it, that for us it is important not only to have a service in a common way, but to hear what God has to say unto us in this time through his word and through his spirit. And the Spirit of God will never speak around the word of God. The Spirit of God will always take the word of God and reveal it. There are many pious spirits. They speak around the word of God. But the Spirit of God will always take the word of God and reveal it. We make no secret of it, and we are not ashamed to confess that God at various times has sent men, commissioned them, and used them in a special way. Not everyone could be an Abraham, not everyone was a Moses, not all could be Elijah, not everyone was a Paul or a Peter. And so, also in this time, not many could have that ministry which Brother Branham had. We are happy on the deep inside to know with a divine absolute that he was a man sent from God with a divine message addressed to the church in this time. And through this, we are brought into connection with a direct speaking of God. Blessed is the man who does not leave out one link in the chain, who does not ignore one divine speech, but who takes everything to heart, ponder on it, and who gets it revealed by the Spirit. Spiritual things, that's how Paul writes to the Corinthians, must be discerned spiritually. And may God grant it to us that we do not apply old standards that are long outdated, that are no longer valid at all, to the precious word of God. But as Paul writes, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, not comparing intellect with spiritual things, but comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The passing on of the word must be done by the same Spirit as the revelation and inspiration of the word happened. And then we are connected with God, not connected with a man, but connected by the Spirit and by the word with God. You know, most of the people come in a meeting and they expect something special of the preacher or of the evangelist. And then they go home disappointed. I hope that nobody has come in the expectation to get something from a man, but that we all are here with a longing to hear God, to have an experience with God. And today we speak about the subject reality. Today we will have an encounter with God in the truth. Reality is today, by God's help, our subject. To it, I would like to read three scriptures. The first one from Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Deuteronomy, chapter 4, the last part of verse 10. Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Then, from the prophet Joel, Prophet Joel, chapter 2, from verse 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? From Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9, from verse 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodoma and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So far, this precious word of God. In these last lines, we have read that God has laid a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And then it says, And whosoever believeth on him, can you believe in a stumbling stone, in a rock of offense? Isn't this an imposition? What does God demand here from us? We most surely would have formulated it completely different. But God knew what he says. He knew that the broad multitude stumbles at Jesus Christ and will be offended at him, and that the builders will reject the stone because it, of course, didn't fit into their building, and that only the true believers would put their trust on him. For the unbelievers, the Lord Jesus was a child born out of wedlock. He was disreputable and misunderstood. Everything what the people could say about him, this was said. But the true believers, they closed up their ears for everything, and they opened their hearts for that what God had to say to them. For them, he was not the stumbling stone and not the rock of offense, but the cornerstone, the precious cornerstone. And Peter writes it in his epistle, the stone which the builders rejected, right this became the chief cornerstone. And everyone who puts his trust on him shall not be ashamed. Today, it is upon my heart to speak about the term reality. And I wish myself and all of us that we today are transferred into the divine dimension. God is the only eternal reality. Today, we shall distinguish between two realities. The one is the eternal divine, and the other is a temporal, a ending, a human or hostile reality. We will explain this a little more in a moment. Let us start with God. God is eternal reality. He has no beginning. He has no development. He has no end. God was, is, and will be. Eternal reality is our God. We can contrast the adversary with him. He was not in eternity. He cannot be in eternity. He was created. This we can read in the Holy Scripture, in the prophet Isaiah 28. We can read it in Ezekiel 13. Lucifer was created, and God knew on the day on which he created him what would become of him. Satan is a deceptive, a lying reality. God is a true, eternal remaining reality. Everything what comes from God will therefore remain in eternity, because God is eternal. Everything what comes from Satan is temporal, and we have to decide where we want to take our stand, on which side we want to stand. There's always the comparison: life and death, light and darkness. And you could go on and on with the list. Life had no beginning. Life is in God. Death has a beginning. Death will have an end. Brother Branham made this mighty statement: all things which have a beginning will also have an end. Only that what had no beginning will also have no end. If we received eternal life, then it is divine life, which always was and will always be. If we want to deepen this thought of reality a little and want to get straight to the point, then we don't just have to say that all the things are reality in the universe, in the creation, and so forth. But we must come to the kernel point of the divine reality on the earth. Christ, our Lord, is divine reality manifested in the shape of a man here on this earth. There is, and there was, and there will be no other one who could say, "He who sees me sees the Father." This only our Lord could say. The Word was reality, but only with the incarnation, when it had taken shape, Simeon was able to take the Lord into his arms and say, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of God. Let us deal with this beginning of the creation of God, of the divine reality here on this earth for a divine eternal purpose. Everything that was eternal is connected with an eternal purpose. Jesus Christ is the Word that became flesh. First, it was a promise, the fulfillment of all promises, which referred to Christ, the Messiah, from Genesis 3, verse 15, up to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. All promises were reality, but firstly, as a word. When the time was then fulfilled, all these promises, which were a word reality, they became real. Namely that what was expressed in all these words stood then suddenly as a reality before the eyes of them who believed the Word of God. This is a reality which no one can deny. And already now I want to say that we, as children of God, as sons and daughters of God, are also divine reality which cannot be denied. And as such a reality, we must now understand ourselves. I hope that this afternoon and the coming meetings will contribute to show us that God in Christ made just the beginning, that He continues to work until into our days, up to the completion at the return of Jesus Christ, when we all will be changed into His image and will be like Him. Of course, somebody may say, then it will be a divine reality. Friends, our divine sonship, our redemption is already divine reality. Christ does not have to die first. He has died. He bore the sin. He went down to hell. He defeated death. He conquered hell. He rose on the third day from the dead. We are dealing with God and with divine realities for you and my life of faith. And this we must understand. This must become clear to us. Our Lord didn't just come here to have been here. He came for the greatest purpose which God had in His plan of salvation, namely to redeem a bride church, to call her out, people in whom He can manifest Himself. Divine reality in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Death, reality, hell, reality, all this are also on the negative side. These are realities, but they are temporal. In the eyes of God, they are surrendered already to destruction and the end. At the end, when God will have completed his work of death, of hell, of devil, of sickness, of sin, of all these temporal realities, in quotation marks, nothing will have been left anymore. Right at the end, throughout all eternities, will only one, and this is the divine, the eternal reality, will remain. And you and I, we are ordained for eternal life. We received the Word of God as the remaining seed in us, and we are already now, as born again sons and daughters of God, realities of the Almighty. John, in chapter 3, in the first epistle, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. This we don't need to understand with our intellect, because this goes beyond our ability of thinking. However, we must believe it with all our hearts, putting our trust in the Lord our God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The divine realities have defeated the devilish lying realities. Our Lord, who is the life, as we can read it in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. This is the true God and eternal life. And as we also can read it, he shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his head. It speaks of Christ, the divine seed, and then of the serpent. On the cross of Calvary, this took place. Friends, as sure as Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, became divine reality here on this cursed ground, so by his reconciliation and by his victory on the cross of Calvary, the divine reality was given back to you and to me. We are justified by the faith in Jesus Christ. This is divine reality. We must now decide what we want to believe. We can walk around all our lives a bit bent down, walking around, and always say, Lord, I am a sinner. I am a sinner, and I am a sinner. This we can do until we get old and gray, or until the coming of the Lord. But we can also place ourselves on the side of God, and together with Paul, saying what we just read, that we namely the righteousness which counts before God, we didn't search for it by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ we received it. So certain our Lord was divine reality here on this earth, so sure Calvary is divine reality for you and for me, and not only for us. Do you know what I will tell you today? That what happened on the cross of Calvary, the death and hell, the devil, and everything what was against God, it didn't just have to take notice of it, but respecting it. It couldn't be otherwise. Divine reality will always be the victor, although it might look like at the moment as if the devil would have a triumph in his hand. And that's how it looked like at that time with our Lord. The accusations came, we have heard, he blasphemed God, and so it went on and on. To the outside, everything looked lost and hopeless. But Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, divine reality here on earth walking, he went into death. But death could not hold him. He swallowed up death into victory. He went down to hell and rose on the third day from the dead. And when he met John on the Isle of Patmos, he said to him, "I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell." He was not only down there, he took away the keys from Satan. And he who has the keys has to say so. This is the Lord. He is the Lord. Hallelujah. He is Lord over life and death. Jesus Christ is divine reality. And the work of redemption is also divine reality. Can we understand this? Then let us act accordingly by faith, not seeing a patchwork in it or making it, but just saying, "Lord, if the matter is such that you on the cross of Calvary paid fully the price, not only a down payment for our redemption, but the full price you paid, Lord, then let us understand that we have no guilt anymore. If you would be in debts and somebody would come and would pay the debt fully and even more with interest and so forth, and you would time and again go to that bank and you would say, 'May I pay my debts?' At the very end, even the people at the counter would also shake their heads. And on one hand, they would say, 'Dear lady, dear gentleman, didn't you understand that Mr. So-and-so already then paid your debts?' And then, 'Huh, I see, thankful,' and they go. And they again return after some time, and they again stand at the counter and want to pay the debts. What should the people think there? So unreasonable are we as believers. We want to settle and settle and don't understand that one settled it all. That the guilt is atoned, sin is forgiven, that the price was paid for. This is divine reality. Everything else are lying realities. And you all know that there are people who also dispute a will. This exists. If somebody dies and he makes a last will and some don't like it, then the testament is disputed and then there's a court case. With God, nothing can be disputed. The court case took place and our Lord said, I have seen Satan as lightning fall from heaven, not descending gently, but as a lightning, he fell from heaven. Let us give room to God and to the divine realities, saying, Faithful Lord, everything else are lying realities. Sin, sickness, trouble, and what might be. This is not the eternal condition in which we will be. Even the aging in our bodies. All of us, we get older, but this body just testifies of that, that there is already a resurrection body waiting for us. The temporal are all lying realities. The eternal are divine, true realities, which never started and which will never cease. Where do we want to take our stand? When the Lord Jesus became flesh, he was the word of promise which took shape on. There was a young woman, the Virgin Mary, and it's so nicely written, she believed, she received the word of promise. She believed. And the word, which as a word reality was in the form of a promise, it then took shape when it was believed what the promise of the word said. In this sentence, although it was long, actually everything was summarized. As in the bridegroom, the word of the promises was summarized and became divine reality in the flesh, in Jesus Christ, in the Son of God, here on earth. So it must become with the bride, with the body of Jesus Christ. All promises which were given to the bride church will become divine reality in them who believe them. Suddenly, we not only have the word of promise, we notice that in us and through us it became reality. Can you believe this? As God did it with the Redeemer, so he does it with all the redeemed. They are a word bride, begotten by the same Spirit of God, born again unto a living hope, divine reality. In Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, divine reality in all the redeemed. by believing the word of promise and then being able to take shape. To us, God has given power, who we believe in the name of the Son of God. That's how it is written in the Gospel of John in chapter 1. All who believe on him, them he gave power to become the children of God. And the Lord said, in the commission, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Let us from today on leave the divine realities as realities, and everything hostile as already past realities that have been abandoned, for they are lying realities. Satan himself, of course, went out of his original state. He was an angel of light. But all that, what he had to offer, death, sin, sickness, destruction and hell, everything what he has to offer is temporal. God, who has no beginning and no end, appeared in Jesus Christ, became reality, and has redeemed us. We are divine possession, and as the divine possession, we are reality as sons and daughters of God. Actually, we no longer need to deal with the enemy as if the court case had not yet taken place. We can say with a bowed heart, but with a believing heart, without being arrogant, we can say, enemy, you are defeated. Hell, you are conquered. Sin, you are forgiven. Sickness, you are healed. Isaiah 53 gives us in advance the guarantee for it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus Christ, divine reality, walking on this earth, you and I, divine realities, sons and daughters of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Shall we continue to grieve him through unbelief? No, we take the side of God and we say, Lord, now we recognize it. You came on this cursed and sinful earth. You have been sinless and hast taken all our sin and guilt upon yourself. You let yourself be beaten and bruised, and by your stripes we were healed. Lord, I see now my redemption is divine reality. I am redeemed. You called me by my name. I am thine. And as sure as you, as the Redeemer, are divine reality, let me, as a redeemed child of God, become divine reality. Paul writes to the Romans that the whole creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Beloved, God will use the church, and I speak now of the bride church. He will use her to make the last promises which are written in the Word of God through his body, which is the church. He will make them reality. Just as all promises which referred to him became reality in him and through him. Was it not written, "Death, I will be a pestilence to you"? Was it not written already in the prophet Isaiah, "He will take away death forever"? Did not David say through the Spirit, "I will not permit that my Holy One sees corruption"? Were there not enough scriptures? Every word of God became reality. It was fulfilled at the birth, in the life of Jesus, when he suffered, when he died, when he was laid in the grave, when he went down to hell, when he rose on the third day, when he ascended, when he will return. Everything is fulfillment of the Word of God and is divine reality in Jesus Christ our Lord. Beloved, also we are divine reality, because without the members, he as the Redeemer is not complete at all. All members belong to the head. If we now can see that everything what was prophesied of him was so 100% fulfilled, and I repeat, of his birth up to his ascension, God is gone up with a shout. Already the psalm writer has written in advance, on him who himself was divine reality, every promise was fulfilled, which was written as a word reality, and which was spoken of him. Now to us, because we all believe this, now we are called to check ourselves with the Word of God. God promised before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes to send us the prophet Elijah to turn the hearts of the children of God back to the word of the fathers. Did the promise become divine reality? Amen. God fulfilled the promise already. This was the main promise of which all the outstanding promises depend on. First of all, the main promise has to be fulfilled. And in this main promise, all the other promises find fulfillment, which are written for the church, up to the full restoration of all things which were in the early church. God has given light in this prophetic age. He spoke with us. He has sent his servant and prophet to call us out of darkness and to show us the illuminated divine way. In him, and this we say confidently, through the ministry of Brother Branham, of course scriptures were fulfilled. Thus, divine reality. Everything what God is doing on earth, this he does according to his word. And it is still written in Amos 3 verse 7, God does nothing unless he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Hallelujah. This God has done. God watches over his word. For God, the word is already reality. For us, when we see it fulfilled and have part in it, the blessing is therein that we not only have heard it as a promise, but that to us it can be said, O blessed art thou who you believed. That's how it was then. That's how it is now. We are dealing with eternal divine realities. And we ourselves become by the fulfillment of the divine promises in our lives a living divine reality. Sons and daughters of God. And we need not to be ashamed of that. Of our Lord it is written, he was not ashamed to call us his brothers. He, of course, as the Holy One, as the True One, he should have been ashamed of all of us. He was not ashamed. Just the contrary. He took our shame, our reproach upon himself, beloved. We are now entering the period of time in which God again will make the word that already exists as a promise to become divine reality through the fulfillment in the church and through the church. We have to expect that now. It is impossible that even one promise remains unfulfilled. It is impossible that God could break one single word. It is still written, the scripture cannot be broken. They all will be taught by God. And by the divine teaching in this time, the light has risen upon us. For the same anointing which was on him, whom God used to speak through, is on them who hear. And John writes, you don't need that somebody teaches you, for you received the anointing, and the anointing will teach you of all things. And as the anointing teaches you, so it is right. What happened? God anointed the prophets. They were called gods. You can read it in Psalms. You can read it in the Gospel of John in chapter 10. Man walking on this earth, and nevertheless, divine realities. And the Lord himself says, have I not said, ye are gods? And if they, to whom the word of God came, was not fulfilled, who served just as a channel, so that the word as the promise could flow through them, if they, who were just carrier of this word, were already called divine realities, what then should be with those in whom and through whom the word is fulfilled, which men of God have uttered under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, we are children of God. We are divine realities. The Word of God came to us, has fallen into our hearts. We have an inner agreement to God and to His Word. Sometimes people sit under the Word with a little inner rebellion, and then it doesn't work. Even if somebody came to the Lord, he had to believe. He always asked, "Do you believe that I can do this to you?" And when the person responded in faith, the miracle had already happened. Today, in this service, we are counting with it that divine realities are manifested. Salvation of the lost, healing of the sick, deliverance on them who are bound by the enemy. Satan is a defeated reality. Sickness is a defeated reality. So, out of force. I repeat, who swallowed whom? Death the life, or the life death? Who is the actual victor? Our Lord, our Redeemer. And I say once again, he was not afraid to go down into hell. He is Lord over life and death. Was not everything created through him and for him? May there be thrones or principalities. Just read it in Colossians chapter 1, maybe from verse 16. Everything is created through him and for him. And he is above all and should have the preeminence in all. Let us begin to think divinely in our hearts, to say, "Faithful Lord, this is correct. You, as a promise, you became reality. You became our, you became my Savior. You paid the price. My redemption is a divine reality. My forgiveness. I am a child of God. I am your possession. Have received eternal life by the faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the divine reality manifested in the flesh. And through him, we also became such a divine reality." How many of you can understand this? Sometimes we sit here and I ask myself, does the word pass us by or does it strike us? This thought touched me very deeply. And I said, "Lord, if I could just say it to your people." All of us, we read, "Gather me the people together. I will make them hear my words." For this we are here today, because God's words are divine realities. And God's word came to us. Divine reality came in you and in me through the word. By nature, we were all in sin, a lying reality. But through God's mercy, the divine came into us. Now we became a divine reality. And one day, we will also put off this mortal tabernacle and receive the resurrection body. Beloved, it won't be long. And then all this is again divine reality. The resurrection will shortly be a reality. The rapture will shortly be a reality. We will see our Lord, and with him we shall enter the marriage supper of the Lamb. With God, every promise is a firmly decided matter, and with this already a reality, although we have to still wait for it. When David said that the Holy One will not see corruption, this was already a divine reality. And then it became manifested indeed. But it was already a divine reality. Every promise which is written in the Bible and was given to the church is already in the eyes of God divine reality. How could we from today on start to pray for one another, that God strengthens us in our faith, that he takes away all doubts, and that we fully could trust him. Gather me, my people. I will let them hear my words, so that they learn to fear me. In the fear of God is the beginning of the divine wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the divine wisdom. There where God lets his people hear his word, there he wants that we come before him in reverence. And that is no more than right in his presence. In the prophet Joel, we have read, gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Our Lord prayed, sanctify them in thy word, or in thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's holy word is divine truth. In this divine truth, the church is sanctified. Gather me, my people. Let them hear my words, so that they fear me as long as they live on earth. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. We cannot sanctify ourselves, leave alone the church, but God has a certain order. He has sent his word, his holy word, into his church, so that his church is sanctified in the word of truth. This is the whole purpose of the speaking of God and of the revelation of his word with all the promises in this time. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is the truth. The Lord sanctifies his church who receives his revealed word as the divine truth in this time by faith in their heart. This is the church who is sanctified in the truth. Everything else are own efforts. And then it says, nevertheless, in the prayer, Lord, spare thy people, and give not thine heritage to reproach. This is also our prayer. The Holy God would have to put me and maybe some others aside. And yet it is written, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? They shall see that God has a church on earth, to which he speaks, which hears his word and believes it, a church as divine reality, as the manifestation place of God here on this earth. This God wants to realize in these last days with and through all of us by his grace. The last still outstanding promises shall become divine reality through the church. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, divine reality in a shape of a man. All sons and daughters of God who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb are children of God, and with it, little divine realities. This word, or this term, may probably be a bit new unto us. To me, it is precious. As my natural father cannot deny me, after all, I'm here as the reality of his begetting. How can the Heavenly Father deny us who we were born of God? How can he deny you or me? He cannot do it. We are here as divine realities, sons and daughters of God, by the faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He says, even if we would get unfaithful, he cannot, for he cannot deny himself. If he would deny us, he would ultimately deny himself and act contrary to his own purpose. And this God does not do, just the contrary. He completes his work. The birth of Jesus, his life, his suffering, his ministry, his dying, his burial, his going to hell, his resurrection, his ascension, everything divine reality. We no longer need to negotiate about this with the devil. We just need to speak it out by faith. Satan, you are a liar. You are the father of lies. And when he speaks, then he lies. When God speaks, then he speaks the truth. We just need to be in the right attitude. First, approach God. And then with God, meeting the enemy. And already we have the victory through our Lord. Not only reality in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Every promise given to the church, which is written in the Word of God, is already divine reality as a promise. However, it must be realized in the church and through the church. And then we have divine reality. amongst us, in us, and around us. As in Christ, the Redeemer, so on all the redeemed. The same word of God is being fulfilled. The same mouth has spoken. It's only one Bible which we have, and this is God's word. Today and in the future, we want to honor God through faith and just say, Lord, we are that what you made out of us. What the sin, what the devil made out of us are lying realities. That what God made of us is divine, eternal, and remaining reality. There will be a time where Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire. Death and everything will be thrown into it. And then comes the new heaven and the new earth. Then we just see divine realities from eternity to eternity. Hallelujah. Is there a greater message? Is there another gospel? No. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shall become to all sons and daughters of God the power of God and find fulfillment for the glory of God and with it becoming reality by grace. Amen. We want to remain in silent prayer before God, closing our eyes, opening the hearts. Beloved, we are dealing with two realities. We deal with a fall, with all the human failures, up to death and hell, which we deserved. We cannot deny these realities. They are here. All the people who are born into this world, they die. For thus it is written in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. All this are realities. And these realities are opposed to the divine, the true, the everlasting reality. Today, you shall experience the divine reality. Today, God wants to confirm himself in truth through his word, which comes into our hearts as a promise and make it a reality. While our heads are bowed, closing our eyes, I would like to ask whether some are here who know only the one reality and who would like to be transferred into the divine reality through Calvary. If you like that God manifests himself in your life, thus getting forgiveness of your sins and of your guilt, receiving eternal life, then raise your hand now so that we can pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Maybe there are still a few here. Beloved, as the life is a reality, so also death is reality. Also on the negative side, the things are reality. Whoever wants to escape destruction and who does not want to be lost, he has to be saved. Dear precious heart, the Lord calls you today. Come, come to him, and you will come out from the lying reality which pulls you down into destruction. And you will come into the divine reality, which will ultimately take you up into the glory of God. Is there somebody else who would like to dedicate his life to God? Then please raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank you for your precious and holy word. Faithful God, your people are gathered here not to hear the words of a man, but the words of God. Faithful Lord, thank you that your birth, your life, your dying, your resurrection, your ascension, everything are divine realities. Faithful Lord, we are coming together to you with all who raised their hands. Faithful God, save them, touch them on the deep inside of their soul. Let your word come into them. O God, work remorse, work repentance. May they return to you, the living and true one. Lord, you have suffered for us. You died. You were bruised. You were wounded for our iniquities, beaten for our sins. Lord, my God, nobody was treated like you. They spat on you. O my Redeemer, your head was full of blood and wounds, full of mockery, as a hymn goes. Lord, you the King of Kings, we come out from the lying reality into the true divine reality through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Savior, we rely here on the word which you have spoken in John 5:24, that whoever believes on you has passed from death into life and doesn't come into judgment anymore. Lord, we pray for all. Receive them. Forgive all sin and guilt. Crown with mercy and with loving kindness. Faithful God, may you succeed in and with all of us. to make your word, your promises, a reality. Hallelujah. Amen.